strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for January 26th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Liana. How are you doing, Liana?
I'm good. I am happy that this whole mooch thing is behind us. We can mooch past it and talk about the new landscape of the house.
Yes, the mooch is now the Voldemort of Celebrity Big Brother. We are never going to mention the M name ever again. Just going to pretend it did not happen.
Yes, he who must not be named. I think that that's a good rule.
Although I guess I should update you on, he did do an interview with E.T. after the episode where he said that he had a departure date going in. He did not know ahead of time what the narrative of the twist would be that would let him leave. But it was, according to him, he was like an Easter egg, you know, kind of scavenger hunt kind of thing on the season. And he thought that would be fun. So take that for what you will. If you want to find the interview, just search for it on the ET, whatever. I don't know. There's a link on Twitter. But that's it.
All
no more
reporting. Well, Mike Bloom is going to interview him also. So hopefully we can get a little bit of the inside information from Mike, knowing what we all know. So we'll see.
All right. Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the feeds. And that includes some of the things that happened before the live eviction. So we're going to rewind to the start of the day on Friday. Tamar and Candy, they made up a little bit. As much as Tamar and anybody can make up, knowing that this is going to, you know, deteriorate at some point.
Yes. So when Tamar makes up, there's sort of two different ways it could go. You can tell, obviously, she's BSing and this is going to completely fall apart later. Or she seems like she's genuinely trying, even though it's probably going to all fall apart later. And I think this was one of those circumstances where it felt like she was trying a little bit. So I will give her kudos for that. I don't know how long it's going to last, but definitely they made up ish.
Yes, ish is a good way to put it. Tamar and Natalie had a conversation as well. Tamar really, looking at my notes, conversations that happened pre-eviction. I've got Tamar, and then I've got like a couple of Toms. Tamar talked to Natalie. She is suspicious of Tom and Cato. She is not really pleased with them. They don't really talk to her. She's kind of suspicious of them and this so-called alliance and deal that's been made, and she feels like she's not a part of it, and she's not super happy with it. However, she does agree, okay, fine, I won't vote to evict Candy. That wouldn't be nice. And, you know, I got to vote with you guys and all of this stuff. So I'll go along with it.
Yeah, she said, I'm not going to be a mean person. And I was like, okay, that's new. So we're going to try this today. But yeah, I mean, I think she realizes that all of her alliance is voting one way, her and Candy made up ish. And so she's going to go forward with that. But I think what I really love about the season is the fact that so many of the alliances, apart from the, you know, the pairs or maybe the three girls with Lolo, Natalie and Tamar, everything is fluctuating so rapidly. And I think that that's probably why Tamar feels a little bit uneasy with the two guys, because everything is just changing so quickly and nothing is really solidified, especially between the women and Tom and Cato.
Yes. And it's funny. At one point, Natalie says that, you know, Jonathan, he just has to go, just like Shannon had to go. Because, again, they all watched the first couple of episodes of the first season of Celebrity Big Brother and definitely didn't finish the season where Shannon then came back to bite Ross in the end. Mm-hmm. Because they haven't learned that lesson. There hasn't been enough of that learning.
No, this is like the, you know, they started reading The Boy Cries Wolf, but then they never finished it.
Yeah.
So they just have this idea of like, oh, you cry wolf and people come.
Yeah, that's how it works, right?
Yeah, that's how it goes. So that's definitely what they're operating on because they didn't finish the season in Sequester.
Yes. Tom and Cato talked. Tom did spend more time during the day trying to make this flip happen. Like I felt like the way to make this happen was to go to Dina and try to convince Kato with Dina. Let's all work together with Dina and Jonathan, and let's bring this together. Unfortunately, there was no way to convince the women at this point. He would have had to drop them, which Kato seems unwilling to do. But that was not the tactic he tried. He was trying to convince Kato to go to the women again and tried to get them on board with this. He did suggest, hey, you know, we could just change it right now. Whatever we wanted to do, we could just change it. But Kato was just having none of it. Kato was not on board. Kato is not Team Fun, in my opinion.
No. For somebody who theoretically was Team Fun living in the OJ house, that, you know, what did he bring other than theoretically fun? He really is no fun. So, yeah, it was really disheartening to see Tom, you know, want to play the game and want to try, and then to have Kato put the kibosh on everything, which is like, ah, damn it, Kato.
Yeah. And the worst thing is, too, is that, like, if Tom hadn't tried anything, I think he'd be in a great spot. But the fact that he tried and failed is, like, the worst of all worlds. And so, you know, Team Fun is not looking super great, according to the attempted flip.
Yeah, exactly. It's the thing, you know, the half measures just don't work. Gotta go all the way. Gotta get the Kato out of the way, though. Or, you know, I don't know. Just not try at all.
Yes. Tamar, Lolo, and Natalie had a little bit of a blow up where Tamar just started to get mad because they're talking about Ricky like they can trust Ricky, but they can't trust Ricky because Ricky lied on Tamar about being in a room with Candy. And sure, Jonathan and Ryan may have lied to Natalie and Lolo, but Ricky is lying on Tamar, and that is no good, and she cannot believe that they trust him and that they are trying to work with him because he has lied on her, and it's not okay.
Yeah, that's not what I thought that phrase meant. It took me a little while to sort of figure that one out. To lie on is there's a difference, and it's not what you think it means. Yes, this, I mean, Ricky is digging his own hole or his own grave. And so it definitely feels like now this is all starting to blow up, but sort of almost because it's coming from Tamar, it feels like, oh, no, it is okay. Like, Ricky isn't being this antagonistic person who's causing a bunch of trouble and lying or whatever is going on. But even though he's clearly, you know, not playing as well as even, you know, I said he was doing on Wednesday, so.
Yeah, so Lolo and Natalie are just like, oh man, what are we going to do? They go and they talk to each other and they complain about Tamar in the little room with the Twitter pad thing. And they're just like, oh, it's so annoying. I can't believe we have to deal with this. And then Ricky comes in and they complain to Ricky. They're like, she just doesn't trust you. It's so weird. And Ricky's like trying to diagnose her because that's what he does. He's like, oh man, she must have some major trust issues in her life. She must have been betrayed by somebody in her past. We gotta go solve this and figure this out and have a psychology session.
Yes. And then classic Ricky going to interrogate someone. But it's definitely crossing over from the, oh, you know, the somebody who is like actively trying to help and help you sort of work out your problems to somebody who is just angrily chastising you. Because, you know, he's talking about, oh, have you ever contributed to the negativity? That's just an excuse. There were a lot of crazy lines that he was throwing out that felt, I was like, I feel very attacked right now. And I'm not even in the room. Much like Ricky, I was not even in the room.
Yeah, I've talked about how it's like he's an angry, forceful Taryn Show interviewer, but it's also like he's a psychologist who is not trying to help you, but just trying to make himself feel better about how he's better than you. That's what Ricky is like when he's talking to you. Hey, Tamar, have you been betrayed in your past? What are you talking? We all have been betrayed in our past. No. That's not Tamar. Have you been betrayed in your past? What are you trying to get at here? You clearly have some trust issues. I feel like you have a betrayal in your past. She's like, who do you think you are? You are not my man. This is not something that we are doing here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was such a great rant. And she just like, her voice just starts going up and up and up and up. I was like, yay. Getting really excited for the unleashing that was happening on Ricky Williams.
Yes, and really, it's hard to even recap what the argument was, as usually is the case with Tamar, but Tamar and Ricky especially, because Ricky is trying to talk about this, like, deep stuff. The other person's refusing to go there, and then, like, then at one point, they got mad because Tamar was like, what are you trying to say? I don't understand, because she kept trying to defend herself, and Ricky would be like, that's not even what I'm saying. She's, then what are you saying? And he's like, oh, don't even with that. You know what I'm saying. She's like, I don't know what you're saying. What are you saying? Why are you raising your voice at me?
How dare you push this back on me, young lady? Like, you need to tell me what's your issues, like, not mine. This isn't about me. And then Lolo's like crouched over in the, I swear to God, she was hiding, is how it felt. She was not folding her laundry. She was hiding in the back with all of this conversation going on.
Oh man, it was ridiculous. So I mean, that happens, but again, they eventually, after a little while, as is usually the case with Tamar, come back together. Tamar, Ricky, Lolo, Natalie, they all kind of make up a little bit, like, all right, like, we're like, they're laughing, they're apologizing, like, it's all fine. So, you know, we get these big blow-ups, but they're not usually permanent with Tamar. It's just, you know, they're going to happen again at some point.
Yeah, I guess, like, the animosity does stay, but it's buried enough under the surface that you can sort of pretend like it doesn't exist. But, like, that's what I'm talking about, where it just comes back out again. This hug felt a little bit more fake. Not fake, because I think she genuinely believes it. It's like when you believe your own lies. Like, I think she genuinely believes that she's making up with Ricky, even though I know that, you know, a day from now, they're going to be in some other blow up because Ricky Williams has decided to play psychiatrist again.
Yeah. And I think the thing is with Tamar, where, like, this is clearly just, she gets into these kinds of fights with people all the time. Like, that seems clear to me based on her experience in the house so far. And so if you are somebody who regularly experiences these kinds of blowups, that's very different from somebody who doesn't usually experience those kinds of blowups. So, like, usually if you have that kind of blowup, it's like, whoa, that is major relationship damaging kind of stuff. But with Tamar, if that were the case for her, she'd never have any relationships. So she's just used to, like, big blowup, but also we're still friends, right? But there's some tension, but, like, I live with the tension. That's just how I operate. And then we have a blowup and then we're still friends.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Her baseline is just different than everyone else's. Like, her baseline is just higher. And so when it rises slightly above the baseline, then it seems like it's this crazy fight. But really, it's not for her, just because that's so normal for her behavior. And so I think the other house guests are sort of recognizing it. And that's why I think getting into these fights with Tamar, it almost seems to be worse for the people who are getting into the fights. It's not so bad for Tamar, because now we've all, you know, the house guests are just going to accept that, oh, this is Tamar's normal, natural behavior. But the person who gets into the fight with her, oh, well, now, you know, that person is more on the chopping block or going to be more targeted than Tamar herself. So I think it's sort of interesting.
It's like when she told Lolo she was going to punch her in the throat, and Lolo was like, what? Mm-hmm. Excuse me? And she was like, whoa, it's just what I do. Yeah.
It's like, that's her baseline.
Yeah, that's the baseline. You have to learn that about Tamar.
Yeah.
Tom and Kato had another conversation. I think this was what he was doing. He kind of changed his tactic with Kato, where instead of trying to just outright convince him to save Jonathan, he started saying, here's the thing, though. It would be really smart if the women were playing us and actually working with the men still, and then they were going to keep Jonathan, do what we wanted to do, work with those guys, leave us out to dry, when we will be the only person that vote to evict Jonathan, and then we don't win HOH, we're on the block next week, just like that. That would be terrible, wouldn't it, Kato? That would be a bad thing to happen. Maybe we should start thinking about things like that. And Kato's like, I don't think so. Oh man, he gets into Kato's head, and Kato's like, I need to go talk to Lolo right now. I need to go talk to her.
Yeah, that did not go well. Like, I appreciate Tom Green for trying another strategy, because clearly this is, you know, a monkey on its back that he really just wants to try and wants to do something about it, and is going to go about it another way with Kato. But Kato, not team fun, not having it. And yeah, like you said, is going to go talk to Lolo after this. Ridiculous.
Yes. So they go talk to Lolo, and Kato's like, Lolo, you tell me, You tell me the truth. You do not lie to me right now. Are we voting out Jonathan? Lola's like, yes, absolutely. Do not worry about it. The only weird thing I understand, you know, Tamar's acting kind of crazy, but it's just, she doesn't really trust you guys. Like, she let out way too much information trying to explain this away. It had nothing to do with Tamar, but she was like, I know that Tamar doesn't really trust you guys, but we're trying to work on that. And, but it's okay. We've got her. She's going to vote to evict, Jonathan. She's not even going to vote for Candy. So everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Tom at one point, because he and Cato had been talking about how Lola would never swear to God and then go against it. And Tom was like, it's just a reality television show. I don't know why anyone would take it that seriously. But then he goes to Lola and says, so do you swear to God? And she's like, I don't swear to God. No. And so Cato's like, well, testify. And then later Cato's like, you don't ask people to swear to God. You ask them to testify. That's the right way to do it.
That was something new that I learned, which I'm super excited. Who says Big Brother's not educational? I'm going to try to implement this in my daily life. Okay, but do you testify, though?
Yeah, exactly. Are you currently testifying that you are no longer going to ask people to swear to God, but instead to testify?
Well, again, this is probably related to the whole OJ trial. He was like, I had to testify.
Oh, yes.
I wasn't about swearing to God. It was all about the testifying. So that's why.
There you go. So there you go. That's all cleared up. Everything is fine. Everybody is on board. We're evicting Jonathan. Tamar does talk to Dina a little bit about the vote. But for the most part, everything is pretty set in stone here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that this is sort of where we thought things would end up. I mean, I know that there was a lot of confusion and shakiness this week, mostly regarding other things, which then, you know, could always influence the vote. But this was sort of an unsurprising result.
Yes. So we get the eviction episode. Jonathan is evicted 6-1. Dina is the sole vote to keep him. The feeds did come back after the eviction. There was some tension about that sole vote. Dina was kind of mad about being the only person to vote to save Jonathan. I think Natalie was a little mad that the vote wasn't unanimous. And so there was a little bit of tension there, but nothing too much before we get to our endurance competition for the HOH, which was a rock concert with an OTEV-like figure and voice who was hosting it, kind of, but also Ryan was hosting it in a ridiculous wig. They were all dressed up in weird rock clothes and bandanas, and they were impossible to identify. So I actually liked the set design here, but it was very strange.
Yes. So I really, really liked this comp. Although I will say I had the exact same confusion about OTEV. I was like, is that OTEV? What? This is HOH. Like, what is going on here? How dare they? The sanctity of OTEV being used. I don't know if this is something that was left over from the Butta competition that they had. And then they just sort of rolled out the same set design. I think my biggest issue, was that I couldn't tell who was who. It took me a long time to figure out the order of the people on the wall.
Yeah, I was on Twitch watching the live endurance competition, and we had a great time trying to figure out who was who and the order of them. Pretty difficult.
They also had the sleeve. So as part of the costumes that they were wearing up on the wall, they had these tattoo sleeves, those like fake tattoo sleeve things. And I was like, oh my God, I think this is Tom Green, but he doesn't have arm tats. So it was just epically confusing. Then I was trying to figure out what house guests had arms, like full arm sleeve tattoos.
And then also, to make it even more difficult, they got splattered with like goo and stuff. And so then even after they fell, there was an outline of a human based on the splatter that didn't go to the wall because they were there before. And so it looked like there was still somebody there. And it was very, very confusing. I'm sure they'll have a fun time putting this one together. But this was a pretty good endurance competition. It ends up lasting about an hour and a half or so. A pretty good performance from the celebrities, despite a massive amount of complaining.
Oh, my gosh. So I was loving this comp. I was like, this is so cool. It's going so long. This is awesome. It's an endurance competition. And then Joey freaking Lawrence, I was about to just walk all the way to LA and just slap him up there. He was complaining the whole time about how cold it was. And he kept saying things like, why can't this competition move faster? Why don't they get things going? And at home, I was like, this is an endurance competition. This is the competition. And finally, towards the end, one of the house guests, I think, said it, told him something about, like, this is the competition. I was so thankful. I was so frustrated with him. He was so annoying.
It was like 10 minutes in, and he was like, can't this be faster? And the thing is, Joey Lawrence has been talking all season long about how, this part of the game is just not my thing. The alliances and deals and betrayal. I can't wait until we get to the end of the game so that we can just do the competitions. It'll all be about the competitions. That's what I'm here for, to win the competitions, and no alliances. It's just, if I win a competition, I get further. If you lose the competition, you don't get further. That's what I'm here for. The second he gets into a competition, oh man, this competition is taking forever. I can't wait to get back into the house playing that other part of the game. This is so, oh man, why is this taking so long? The competitions.
Yeah, exactly. He's bitching about the competitions, bitching about the fact that it's so cold. We're all going to get, we're already sick. I guarantee you, we're all already sick. And then as soon as, finally the competition wraps up, and then even at the end, he's still complaining about how he wants to get back in the house. Guys, can we hurry this up so we can get back in the house? We're all sick. I'm sure we're all sick. Oh my goodness. Yes, exactly. Batman would not complain this way. It was so annoying.
Guys, can we speed this up? Got some bad guys to beat up.
Oh my god. Well, he's probably just thinking, oh no, all my bathroom stuff. This is gonna take me 8 hours, not 4 hours.
Do you know how long it takes to put this makeup on?
Yeah. My painted on beard, all the goo, it's just coming right off.
So Tom is going to be the first one to fall. He had talked about throwing this competition with Kato earlier in the day. However, doesn't really look like he threw it. Looks like he did have some trouble. He ends up having some fun before he falls, though, hanging on to the little handholds before he had a good like 30-second dead hang there. And then he goes down pretty closely, followed by Candy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny to watch Tom. It did seem like he was kind of trying to swing his legs back up to stay back up, but yeah, he was just swinging for a while. I don't know why it was so funny, but it was really great. And then I liked that Tom just awkward clapped every once in a while throughout the whole competition, which he's one for awkward clapping at the end of ceremonies and things like that. And so it was nice to have him sort of be this awkwardly chapping clapping cheerleader throughout the competition.
Yes. We then saw Ricky go down. Then we had a whole thing with Tamar, right, where she started to feel weak, and she was like, oh, this is too high, like she was rock star on the rock climbing wall, and she was like, somebody get me a ladder, I need to get down. And it was a little bit scary. Like, she was like breathing very heavily. She was working on breathing techniques. She was like, it seemed like she was hyperventilating, but I think she was just trying to like keep herself calm. She was freaking out. And then at one point she finally ends up slipping, and she's holding with her hands, and she just screams at the top of her lungs.
That's exactly what it was like, but probably 10 seconds longer. She just, yeah, so it's a slow, it was so, so amazing, because you have this, you know, the hyperventilating, she's kind of freaking out, she asks for the ladder, they cut feeds for a little bit, probably tell her, no, we're not getting you a ladder, and then she continues to just, like, get more and more upset, they're trying to get her, trying to talk her down, and then, yes, as soon as she lets go and just lets out this blood-curdling scream. Oh my goodness. It was crazy dramatic. And it makes me so happy that she was cast for that alone, even.
You know, I suggest you look up the clip. I'm sure it's going to be in the episode, though. So don't worry about it if you don't have the energy. But it is pretty great. This is a good competition between the Tom stuff and then Tamar. And I'm hoping they're going to have some fun with Joey as well. I think this is going to be a good HOH competition to watch. So. Tamar goes down. Dina is going to end up dropping next. Dina making it a lot further than I anticipated, and I think a lot of people were pretty impressed with what she was doing. And then the final four, it came down to Joey, Lolo, Kato, and Natalie. I think, I was certainly expecting Joey, Lolo, and Natalie to do well in this competition. Did not expect Kato to make it this far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely agree. I think Dina and Kato were really the two standouts for me. Not just because of their age, but also because they're going up against, a guy who tells Olympic athletes how to work out. So obviously we know he's fit. An Olympic athlete herself. And then Natalie, who obviously is a wrestler and in great shape herself. So I was not expecting this boot order for sure.
Yes. Lolo is going to end up dropping next, surprisingly, and leaving it down to Joey, Kato, and Natalie. At this point, Kato is trying to get Joey off the wall. Kato is trying to offer Joey deals, and Dina, who is upset with Kato in particular because she was close with him, did not know he was going to vote against Jonathan, or at least at the very least is mad that he voted against Jonathan and didn't really talk to her about it, is like, well, Joey was with Jonathan. Dina's just feeling like very betrayed. She's the sole vote to keep Jonathan. She's feeling very upset. Dina is like, no, Joey, don't accept the deal. Stay on that wall. And Kato is like, whoa, all right, I see what's happening here. I get it. Okay. Kato is not happy with Dina's interference here.
No, and this is something that is really important because it influences some decisions that are made later on. But I just want to say quickly that Lolo did drop because she was worried about injuring her shoulder, which I totally get, because she is, that's literally her profession, is to take care of her body and to perform well. So I will give her that credit.
I thought she had it until she mentioned that she had had shoulder surgery at one point, which is why she dropped. Joey is eventually going to use a similar excuse.
Yes. So Joey, well, it's weird because it sounded for the brief moment that he like accepted the deal, but then said, okay, but I'm going to see how long I go, which then like, I don't think really.
I really appreciate what you're saying, Kato. I like it. I'm good. This is good. I like the deal. You're going to keep me safe. I'm just going to keep going for a little while though. See how long I can make it. But yes, I agree with your deal. And then like a couple minutes later, he slipped and fell.
Yeah. In my opinion, the deal doesn't count. And I know Natalie was talking about it later that deal doesn't count. Is it gonna, make a difference? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Joey did not accept the deal, in my opinion.
I don't think he did either. I think he slipped. And then after he slipped, he was like, oh yeah, I just couldn't stay up there. I couldn't risk injuring the thing. So yeah, taking that deal and such.
it was just so nice of him to make the comp go faster. Really, really proud of him for that.
So after Joey falls, Natalie feels pretty safe with Kato. She drops, and Kato is our new HOH.
Yes, not who I expected to win an endurance wall comp, but you know what? Props to him for winning.
Yes, second comp win in a row for Kato. I really feel like he is one of our more likely winners as somebody who is not trash talking anyone and, is not a huge threat. Now has won two competitions in a row, starting to become a little bit of a threat. This is great for Tom, I think.
Yes, I think so too, because, even though the two skills that Kato exhibited were reading and hanging around, which I think is very on brand for him, it still puts him at the forefront of, oh, somebody who's won two comps. And it's the double, issue of winning two comps in a row, which I think also adds to someone's threat level. And it definitely takes a little bit of the heat off of Tom.
Yes. That said, it puts more heat on the duo together, which is not good for Tom, especially especially if Kato ends up winning a veto and they got to take out Tom in order to, you know, take a shot at Kato. However, this puts the two of them in a great spot to pick up some players who are really just floating around. If they are savvy enough to do it, are they savvy enough to do it? I think Tom might be, but I'm not sure Kato is. But if you look at the playing field, this should be a vital HOH for Kato and Tom, especially because you've got Ryan, who's got nobody. You've got Joey, who's got nobody. They've maybe got each other a little bit, but Jonathan was really the tie that bonded them together, and they have no other allies. You've got Candy, who's still floating around with nobody. You've got Dina, who's got basically nobody. If you approach all of these people, offer them safety, then you have a six person out of 10 people in the house, and that's pretty good, especially considering that you are technically aligned with the rest of the house. So you can basically pick up, you can decide which side of the house you want to be on. You can basically make your own onion alliance of a six person thing. Like, you can do whatever you want here. Are they going to? Probably not.
Nah. And I don't know if this is because Tom is going to try to convince Kato to do something, Kato's going to say no, or whether or not it will come across Tom's brain to even try to pursue that option. Because, you know, I think the idea of sort of pulling together all of the people who are on the outs is it's always such a great option, because they're underdogs and they feel like they have nowhere else to turn. And when you offer a little bit of security and a little bit of an olive branch, they grab onto that and hold on because they don't have anything else. And those are the types of people that you want working with you, who, you know, feel like they don't have other options, even if in reality maybe they do, but they don't feel that way. And so I could totally see this being a great move for them. But Kato is still stuck on this whole Dina Lohan thing where, you know, she, like you said, oh, Joey, stay up on the wall. And so Kato's really fixated on that.
Yeah, Kato gets very fixated on things, and it's hard to turn him away from them. Dina, I feel like, is somebody who would be easily swayed back on in their favor. Dina should be the last person that Kato is targeting. However, Kato's initial thoughts are, I need to nominate Dina because she was trying to prevent Joey from making a deal with me. She's coming after me, so I need to go after her. This is a huge mistake for Kato. This is bad, bad, bad news for Kato.
Yeah, and I think that Dina was just upset and in the moment, and I think that it's something that is, you can work around it and you can get over it. It doesn't seem like this irreparable relationship that then, oh, Kato absolutely has to target Dina because of what happened on the wall. So it just seems, like you said, he just fixates on something and then that's what he's going to go with, sort of regardless of any other new information.
Yes, we did get some, I thought, very encouraging stuff from Ryan. I was thinking about how Ryan has plenty of information that he can use to keep himself safe this week, but I wasn't sure if he was going to use it, because we saw last week these guys were terrible at using their information. I think we are seeing that. Despite the fact that Ryan is not exactly the, you know, the sharpest guy in that house, you know, he wasn't exactly the brains of the operation between himself and Jonathan, I think he might actually have better game instincts than Jonathan and might actually be a better overall player when it comes down to it, because he, without Jonathan's influence, immediately goes to Kato after the HOH and says, look, I understand. Probably going to put me up. I get it. I just have nobody anymore. Jonathan's gone now. I had an alliance with these women, me and Jonathan and the women. We were aligned together. We were supposed to work together, but I guess they went and made an alliance with somebody else, probably like the whole house, because they just betrayed us. And now I've got nobody. And if you keep me off the block, then I promise you, I will work hard and I will win every competition, or I will try to win every competition, and I will keep you safe. I will try to protect you. I will be loyal to you because I have nobody else. And that's about as good a pitch as you can make, especially when it comes from somebody who is as genuine seeming as Ryan, considering that you don't really think that he has it in him to lie to you.
Yes. So I think Ryan is super interesting to me, because I admit I make fun of him only having a couple brain cells. I see him with those cue cards. But I think that this just goes to the argument of the different types of intelligence. And he does seem to have a really natural emotional intelligence. And I think that he is somebody who is so genuine that he either he can't lie. Oh, I mean, we saw him with the Rio scandal. It ended up coming out that, you know, anyway. So I think
he can't lie. I think that's why it was a scandal. Yeah. I'm sure plenty of other athletes have lied similarly, but just in such a terrible way, right? Like, and getting gotten caught.
Yeah. So as long as he's being honest and being genuine and using his emotional intelligence in that sort of way, I think that is such a great look, great move for him. I mean, he did what I think a lot of us would say you need to do in that situation. And he figured out to do that on his own. Also, I will say from the episode, the thing where he looked in the mirror and saw Natalie and Tamar do their little handshake thing. I was like, yay, Ryan, you go. I don't know if it's a low bar.
And then she did the thing.
They did like a hand thing.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see where Ryan goes. I mean, I know there's talk of him being potentially backdoored this week. I really hope it doesn't happen because I want to see what else he's capable of.
Yeah. So it seems like he makes an impact on Kato. Kato doesn't seem super interested in nominating Ryan. Tamar and Natalie have a conversation. Tamar is, guess what? She's not happy. She's not happy with Natalie for dropping. She feels like she might be vulnerable now that Kato is HOH and Natalie could have won it and kept her safe. And Natalie is like, no, Kato's going to keep you safe. Don't worry about it. Kato's got us covered. And Tamar's like, well, who's he going to nominate? He can't nominate Joey. And Natalie, well, no, he can nominate Joey. Joey did not take that deal. That is not, Joey did not take that deal. That's the thing, though. You never want to be the person that says, no, that deal is invalid if the other people are saying the deal is valid. So it's a tough spot. And I don't think Kato wants to even come close to it. I feel like Kato is like, nah, Joey, let's leave Joey off the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think whether or not Kato genuinely believes that deal was accepted, I think he still feels like, oh, I need to operate in quote unquote good faith and not put him up for those reasons. But I think it's all tied to that. I don't think it necessarily has to do with, oh, okay, I'm going to go try to pick up Joey because he seems like a little bit of a lone wolf in this situation. It's just somehow tied to this faux deal that happened.
Yeah. So that's going on. Kato's idea is, as we talked about, Dina. His other idea for the nomination, is Tamar.
Maybe she was onto something. Yeah. No, I think this might have just been the situation, though, of, oh, it's paranoia. But in this instance, she happens to be correct. But yeah, it's when she gets put on the block, which I don't want to see her go, but I still want to see her reaction to being put on the block. So I'm a little torn here, but I would love to see that happen.
And I will say, I was kind of disappointed with the Kato HOH. I feel like he would kind of be boring. This isn't super boring, though. I think he's making a massive mistake in putting Dina on the block. And if Dina and Tamar stay on the block toward the end of the week, we could get a somewhat interesting vote. We're going to have 7 votes again, assuming that a third nominee isn't named at some point, which means that you need 4 to evict. And if we think that the lines in the house stay somewhat similar, then you've got Joey, Ryan voting to evict Tamar, and Candy potentially voting to evict Tamar. That's 3. And then you've got Lolo, Natalie, and Ricky voting to keep Tamar and voting to evict Dina, leaving Tom as the swing vote. And if Tom decides to go wherever he wants to go, then he can do that. Or if Dina is able to make up with Kato at some point during the week, then maybe they turn over, and that causes more dissension between them and the women, and them and Ricky, and all sorts of things could theoretically happen. So I'm hoping for that, or it could be a boring week. But even if it's a boring week, here's the thing. Eviction is on Monday, so it's going to be pretty quick.
Yes, because now the game really, really kicks up. I mean, I have to continue to remind myself that this is really only 3 weeks long, and we've already pretty much burned through 1 week. So seeing how everything unfolds, it's going to go at a crazy fast pace. And I, just based on the fluidity in the house that we've seen so far, I just really don't think that the alliances are going to stay as tight, or, you know, the line is going to stay as straight. So I think that there could be more movement. I think obviously we also have the veto to play. And it seems that with Kato using the veto, that I think sort of can spark other people to really consider using the veto. Because, you know, when you see someone do it, there's a little bit of monkey see, monkey do. Oh, okay, this is possible. I'm willing to stick my neck out to save someone. And so we could end up seeing the veto used potentially at some point. And then I don't know who Cato would try to put up. If he does try, maybe go for the backdoor Ryan plan or something else entirely. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a conundrum. So we did get Lolo, Natalie, and Ricky talking as well. They are discussing their plans. They're thinking, okay, so can we get him to backdoor Ryan? Maybe. Can we get him to not nominate Tamar? Maybe. Can probably only do one of those things. We need one goal. We need to focus on that one goal. They're trying to figure out how do we either get Tamar to not be nominated, or how do we, you know, get her to not blow up if she is nominated. It's really a long conversation about Tamar. And they would like the backdoor Ryan thing to happen, but they really don't think it's going to happen. So they're kind of just letting that one go a little bit for now. Although I wouldn't be surprised if the idea was floated to Cato at some point today.
Yeah, I think what we've seen with Tom is, you know, it seems like when these celebrities do get an idea, they want to somewhat follow through with it. And so I think that this is going to be an instance where we might see a pitch potentially, depending on how they're feeling. It could be a bad pitch. It probably will be a bad pitch. I would be here to hear it. Yeah, it seems most likely that we'll probably just get the straight noms. But I don't know. We could see something else happen.
Yes. So that's really what we're looking at here. I'm expecting the nominations to be at some point today, probably early today, and then probably a veto competition also today. Maybe tomorrow, but that would be cutting it pretty close, because the veto episode is going to be, I believe, Sunday night, which is tomorrow night. So
HOH, I can't remember. Is it HOH and veto?
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Veto is probably going to be Monday. This is different from their first celebrity season, but basically how they would usually do it in that season was nominations and then veto and eviction. But the veto and eviction was usually a 2-hour episode. Which they're not doing this time. So I'm not exactly sure, but I'm assuming based on what we saw today, where we got a second veto plus eviction, they're probably going to continue with that format. Although I don't like it very much, because it really cuts a lot of things short. So I would prefer... Yeah, they're definitely not doing Veto Sunday, though, because they got the HOH. Yeah, and they always want a competition in every episode. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Man. So, yeah, that's probably what we're getting.
It's I think it was part of Joey Lawrence's contract. It was he gets a new sitcom and they edit the show to only have competitions. Although now, obviously, we know he also hates competitions. So who knows what he wants?
Yeah.
Just bathroom time, I guess.
So at the very least, we're going to get veto very quickly, probably late today or early tomorrow. And then veto ceremony at some point tomorrow, almost definitely. So be on the lookout for that. And, you know. Just hope we get some fun times here.
Yeah, I think it will not disappoint. And maybe some fun times that make slightly more sense is kind of what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, well, maybe we can chill with the you know, twists for the time being, and just have some fun. Team fun.
Team fun and team real twists, which I can't believe I would even be arguing for instead of team cover up conspiracy twists.
Yeah, it's just this is one of those things. This is like Big Brother 9. Let's just kind of forget that it happened, right? Like,
yeah, I'm okay with that.
All right.
Collectively as a society, I think we'll just decide that it doesn't exist.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we've got for you today. I will, of course, be live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the feeds. And then tomorrow night, I believe we will have another episode and recap and everything along those lines. And you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Liana is at Liana Boris. Thank you for joining us. See you next time.